Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read just two verses from John chapter 18, verses that coincidentally were read in our Gospel reading from the Passion History of Christ from earlier today. "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What is truth? It's not actually a bad question that Pilate asked Jesus. After all, if the world in Pilate's day is anything like the world in our day is, asking what is truth seems like a pretty reasonable and actually good question to ask. It's hard to know what is true anymore, isn't it? Whether you are watching something on TV or consuming it on the internet, reading the newspaper or hearing things on the radio, even if it is the quote-unquote news, it's hard to know, is what I'm hearing, seeing, or reading actually true? The result is we become essentially a society full of people who, like Pilate, are asking, what is truth? And doubting whether there actually is such a thing as truth. Earlier on Monday, Thursday evening, before Jesus stood before Pilate, he told his disciples, "I am the truth." Notice Jesus doesn't just say, "I am truthful." He doesn't just say, "I tell you the truth." No, Jesus is even more than that. He is truth itself. What did he mean by this? Well, as we examine this conversation with Pilate on that first Good Friday, we'll find the answer. That answer points us to one of Jesus' names of wondrous love, the one we'll consider today, and that is that he is the truth. Let's recall why Jesus was standing before this Roman governor Pilate in the first place. The Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin, had already passed the death sentence on Jesus late Thursday night, but they were subject to the Roman government. They were not allowed to carry out the death sentence themselves. If they had been, they would have stoned Jesus. That was the Jewish method of execution. So they had to try and convince the Roman governor Pilate, who did have authority to condemn Jesus, they had to convince him that Jesus was in fact worthy of this death sentence. Their charge of blasphemy that they had found Jesus guilty of, claiming to be God, that would mean nothing to Pilate. What does he care if Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, claims to be God or not? Let them deal with those religious squabbles. But they come up with a charge that would force Pilate to investigate further and at least ask Jesus some questions. We read in the Gospel of Luke that they began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We found this fellow misleading our nation, forbidding the payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Now, no Roman representative could ignore such a threat to the emperor of Rome. This man claims to be a king. That has to be investigated. So Jesus is hauled before Pilate, and he asks Jesus straight up, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answers him, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth." In response, all Pilate can muster was this jaded question, "What is truth?" that question, Pilate seemed to imply that there was no absolute truth, especially in the areas of religious matters. If anything, Pilate was likely a pagan skeptic, a practical agnostic. For him, the answer was simple. There is no such thing as truth. Sound familiar? The unbelieving world today still asks that same question Pilate asked. What is truth? Absolute truth in matters of morality and religion simply does not exist, people insist. What seems true for one generation may change for the next. What's true for one person may not be true for the next person. It's the reason why expressions such as "my truth" have become so prevalent. You rarely hear people talk about the truth because people don't believe it exists anymore. Many people don't, at least. Truth is relative in the minds of many, and therefore so is matters of right and wrong. And sadly for many, the conclusion they come to is that there is no truth, which in itself is self-contradictory, of course. If you are absolutely sure there's no absolute truth, how can you be absolutely sure there is no absolute truth? Regardless, this is the mindset and the belief of many people. As I mentioned earlier, the problem for Pilate and for anyone who asks the question, what is truth, actually doesn't lie in the question itself. The problem is not listening to or believing the answer Jesus gives when he says, "I am the truth." Listen again to Jesus' words to Pilate from our text from verse 37. "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Notice I read verse 37. That verse comes before Pilate's question. Jesus answers Pilate's question even before it's asked. Truth itself was standing there before Pilate that day in the person of the Son of God. And sadly, Pilate did not listen. Jesus stands before us today. Jesus, the truth, stands before us today in his word. In him and in his word, we find the answers and we find the truth to so many of the questions, the doubts, and the skepticism that comes from either within us or outside in the world around us. In his word, Jesus tells us the truth about the beginning of all things, as well as the end. In his word, Jesus tells us the truth about who we are and what we've been made through faith in him. He tells us the truth about human sexuality and marriage, about sin and forgiveness, about life and death, about heaven and hell. The question is, will we listen to him? Do we treasure Jesus, the truth? Do we believe what he says? Do we apply it to our lives? Do we share the truth with others? This Lenten season, let's listen again with our ears and our hearts open by God's grace to the words of the one who is the truth. Hear again what Jesus has to say to us in the truth of his word. 2 Timothy 3:15. "From infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." John 8:31-32. "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus is truth in person. He is God's living word of salvation. He is truth in action. He didn't just stay the truth that's way off somewhere in heaven. He actually stepped down into history, from eternity into time, clothed himself in humanity, slept in a cradle, suffered on a cross, shed his blood as the God-man to make himself the truth of our salvation. If we want to know the truth about how we are saved, there is only one answer: Jesus. If we want to tell others about how they are saved, there is only one truth to speak: Jesus. We can live without many of the other truths that are put forward by the world, but we cannot be saved without the truth: Jesus. As Jesus himself said to his disciples and to us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God, help us to listen with believing hearts to Jesus' answer to that all-important question: what is truth? God, help us to treasure Jesus' answer: "I am the truth," because it shows his wondrous love for you and me. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.